Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. 10 days. Folks, can you believe it? I mean, I feel like we've been watching this campaign for 10 years. This has been the longest campaign ever. And that's partly because it has, in fact, been the longest campaign ever. Which means we've had to endure the typical MSM bias droning on and on ad nausea longer than usual. So we should pause a moment and check out the background to this election. Or shall I say, we should take a look at the backdrop on the stage on which these two clowns are jostling with one another for the White House. And not get so distracted we fail to see the gorilla walking right in front of us on the stage. And not get so fixated on the activity on the stage in the backdrop that we fail to see the gorilla. And finally, I'm calling on all God-fearing patriots who listen to the Brain Massage Show to pray for me right now because my voice is giving me trouble. And to join me in a vigil of prayer and fasting for our nation. I'm going to start that next Tuesday. And I'll share with you how I believe the Lord has encouraged me to pray about this election. The last time I felt this much urgency and even anxiety about an election was back when Reagan was running the first time. The country was in such a mess then, but the answer seemed clear at that time. There was no hesitancy in my spirit or any misgivings about me voting for Reagan. But today it's different. It's different on almost every level. I mean, it's different in that the problems today are far more egregious, more serious than they were then. But it's different in another way. Both of the party's candidates are difficult to, well, respect, to stomach. You know, I could say one is impossible to respect and the other is very difficult to respect. I mean, we've held our nose and voted before, right? But the stench of these candidates is so strong, nose holding doesn't cut it. I mean, really, many are going to need to take a barf bag to the polls this year. Yeah, they ought to hand out barf bags at the polls. For all three of these candidates, each voter signs in, gets a ballot and a barf bag. And anyway, after much prayer, struggling with this, I believe the Lord has encouraged me to enter into an extended time of prayer and fasting for our country, but I didn't know how to pray about this mess. And then I was reading Amos, and I found a passage that actually made it very, very clear to me. So I'm going to share that with you in the second segment as I close. Okay, my dear friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Now, folks, two of my favorite mind games are the invisible gorilla and then a follow-up on that called monkey business illusion. Now, if you've not seen these selective attention tests, you need to Google invisible gorilla and then check it out. The other will more likely appear in that list of Google hits. What happens is the viewer is concentrated on counting the number of times those in a white shirt or blouse pass the basketball. So while the viewer is zeroed in on that, a man or a woman dressed in a gorilla suit walks into the middle of the basketball passers, turns, looks directly into the camera, beats his or her chest, and then walks out. Most who take this attention test, and they're not aware of what's going on, they're not looking for the gorilla, in other words, will miss the gorilla, and they won't even see it till they're told to look for it, and then they look carefully for it. I want to take a few minutes on this show and point out the gorilla that is walking onto the campaign stage that's looking you right in the face, beating its chest, unnoticed by almost everyone. Let's see if you can identify the gorilla. Now, there is polling that tracks the favorable and unfavorables of each politician. According to HuffPost pollster, but this one tracks, quote, thousands of public polls to give you the latest data on elections, political opinions, and more, end quote. Okay, all right, so for what it's worth. As of 10/28, that poll shows Hillary at 48 and the Donald at 41. And that would be as of 8:30 a.m. PST. Trump's favorable versus unfavorable numbers has him at 36 favorable and 61 unfavorable. Well, Hillary is shown to be 44% favorable and 54 versus 54% unfavorable. So both have high unfavorables, but while we are watching this spectacle, you might miss something. You see, Trump is a scoundrel, rude, crude, and obscene. Very, shall we say, carnal. He's a quasi-social conservative with capitalist instincts and socialist twitches. His unfavorables, however, arise almost entirely from his sometimes grossly ungentlemanly behavior. I mean, and the mixed bag of his business dealings, including some fast and loose deal-making, loophole finagling, and philandering, and stuff like that. However, he's very open about all of this, very transparent, if you will. I mean, we could say Donald is honest about his dishonesty or his disreputable behavior, and it's all pretty much limited to his business dealings and his personal character and personal life. Everyone knows these things are, well, you know, just business. It's not personal, right? It's just, you know, it's just the Donald. But Hillary is a communist, you know, a crook. And as for temperament, so often alleged against Trump, Hillary has a reputation for being far more petulant, vindictive, and hateful than Trump, who is something of a blustering blowhard, while Hillary, whom Rush styles the Hildebeest, which is taken from Wildebeest, which is a new, GNU, a large dark antelope with a long head, a beard, and a mane, and a sloping back. Only, of course, Hilarity is a wildebeest of another kind, a very shrew new, which is a very intriguing mixture of metaphor, for a shrew is a mouse-like insectivorous animal with a long pointed snout and tiny eyes. Come to think of it, she does look rather shrewish. But the name of this little creature is used to describe someone who is a bad-tempered or aggressively assertive woman. That's the onboard Apple Dictionary. And of course, the MSM hide it as best they can, but everyone knows what a shrew is the new of the genus Hildebeest. So to see the gorilla on the campaign stage, you're going to need to write out a list of Donald's unfavorables and a list of the Hillary's unfavorables, and lay him side by side for comparison, and then ask yourself this question. When you compare a philandering, loose-dealing, crude, rude, and obscene stereotypical male chauvinist to the evil, wicked criminality and hatred-driven personality and selfish, covetous personality of the Hildebeest, how is it possible that anyone would compare him unfavorably to her? I mean, it's rather like comparing castor oil to arsenic, right? One might be hard to take, but it might cure you. The other is certainly going to kill you. No, I'm not endorsing anyone. I'm just talking the truth here. It is interesting to me, as I pointed out last week, how many goper pragmatists there are who will refuse, for principle, to vote for Trump because he has the character of Bill Clinton, and then throw their vote to his wife, a stark-raving Alinskyite with the politics of a Brezhnev, who will certainly fulfill Nikita's prophecy. That's Khrushchev, if elected. You don't know Khrushchev's prophecy. Quote, we will take America without firing a shot. We will bury you. End quote. Another one. Quote, we can't expect the American people to jump from capitalism to communism, but we can assist their elected leaders in giving them small doses of socialism until they awaken one day to find that they have communism. And quote, we do not have to invade the United States. We will destroy you from within. End quote. Now, this string of quotations are attributed to the late Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. And by late, I mean sometime back in the 60s. The only one I can verify is that, quote, we will bury you, end quote. And in the context of that statement, it was probably not much more than a Russian Marxist expression coming from their belief that the bourgeois, the owners of the capital, by their oppression of the proletariat, the working class, would simply create their own undertakers who would inevitably bury them. That's the language of Marx. Lenin is the one, actually, who said something close to that bit about taking America without firing a shot and expecting America to absorb capitalism through small doses of socialism. The closest I find to that is Lenin saying that the West would fall into his hands or to the hands of Russia like overripe fruit into the hands of the dictatorship of the proletariat. I mean, it's from these seeds of thoughts, however, that famous prophecy has arisen and taken shape and become generally circulated throughout America. But even our own Lincoln understood that if America fell, it would fall from corruption within. See the gorilla yet? America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves, end quote, Abraham Lincoln. Well, not so much. Like so many of these quotes attributed to great men, this one turns out to be really more somewhat of a summation of what Lincoln did actually say. And here's what he actually said. Quote, "Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? All the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined with all the treasure of the earth, our own excepted, with their military chests, with a Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track of the Blue Ridge in a trial of 1,000 years. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide." End quote. And that was a speech he gave at the Young Men's Lyceum in Springfield, Illinois in 1838. See the gorilla yet? Okay, let me help you out here. Look at the backdrop, the curtain in back of the campaign. They're throwing the basketball back and forth. See the great bear, the ravenous she-bear, Russia, asserting herself, aligning with Iran and Syria. A little prophecy developing there, eh? See the great red dragon stirring, agitated, and eyeing the West while it sits upon its pile of gold, much of it ours, held by them as surety for our debt to the dragon of the East. See ISIS rampaging across the deserts, crucifying Christians, virtually unchallenged by the Western powers. See the economy here in America, weak, faltering, $19.7 trillion in debt, propped up by popsicle stick economics. You know, the printing presses. Need I go on? I was asked lately, what does it matter whether our leaders have good character? And I said it was all that matters. I mean, you can hire or recruit brains and brawn, but character directs the use of both, and it's not something you can buy. Once it's bought, it's lost. Where is the gorilla walking onto such a stage with such a backdrop? It's the judgment of God. There it is, looking us in the face. And yet we're so focused on counting basketball passes between these candidates and all that's going on with MSM and so on, we're not seeing it. Repent. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Have you ever complained against the White House and the House of Congress for despising our laws, showing contempt for our Constitution, and turning their back on our founding values and beliefs? Does it seem the Lord has forsaken the people's houses? And by the way, how's your house doing? Perhaps there is another house you should think about, the house of God, the church, which according to Jesus is the pillar and ground of the truth. He told us not to forsake the house of God. Have you? How long has it been since your family gathered with God's people in His house? God can fix the White House and the House of Congress and your house too. But remember, He begins with His own house. Every great revival has begun with a return to the house of God. God will return to our houses when we return to His. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us in the house of God this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Well, what do you know? They've reopened the investigation into Hillary's email scandal. because of some information they found on devices that were confiscated in the process of dealing with Weiner's Sexgate scandal. Information found on Huma Abedin's devices and on Mr. Weiner's. Isn't that interesting? Well, let's see where this goes. Now, the MSM has been, well, shall we call it warning us? Not sure. We've been warned that the polls are expected to narrow as we go into the last stretch of this race. Well, why would they say that? How did they see that coming? Hilarity was way out front, you know, 8 to 10 points ahead. And I mean, that's like from one day to the next, now it's within the margin of error. I mean, it is virtually dead heat. Actually, the polls have been all over the board on this. LA Times poll has Trump out front consistently, while most of the other polls have Hilarity out front, some of them way out there. So anyway, when they're all taken together, it comes out with Hillary a few points ahead of Trump. That is, if, like me, you follow the Real Clear Politics poll data and not the HuffPost crowd. As of today, Friday, October 28, 2016, it is Hillary at 45.5 with Trump at 43.6. Round them up and you have a 2-point difference, which is a difference that makes virtually no difference. It's a dead heat. And I've been saying that right along. It has been that way without regard to these polls. Compare this to yesterday. I mean, just yesterday, Hillary was 46 and Trump was 40. That's Thursday to Friday. That means Trump has gained almost 4 points while Hillary has slipped back half a point in the course of one day. So you see, this change is not in faltering support for Hillary. Her support's only a half a point off a little bit. It's seen in movement on the Trump side among, no doubt, the undecided and the unaffiliated. Apparently, more are now willing to admit to pollsters they're voting for Trump or something like that's going on. I mean, look at the rallies. It's true that Trump is using the rally, you know, to, well, rally support for his campaign. He's going straight to the grassroots, circumventing the MSM. Now, for a while, you know, he was controlling the MSM, right? It seemed that way. And he was manipulating them, right? Yeah, it seemed that way. The fact is, they wanted Trump and they didn't want Cruz. Folks, the quicker you see that, the better able you'll be to see the gorilla. It's the Antichrist spirit at work big time. You do understand that while the devil might prefer that you be a Democrat, he's perfectly content for you to be Republican. And he doesn't care as long as he controls it, right? Satan could care less whether this nation is a republic or a democracy, so long as it's him we're serving and not Christ. Anyway, check it out. Trump averages well over 6,000 people in front of him, while Hillary's public events average about 680 people. Folks, she just doesn't draw a crowd, and Trump does. Since the campaign started, Trump has outdrawn Hillary by more than 500,000 people, over 700,000. Hillary has had 34 campaign rallies where she has made an appearance, and in only 12 of those did her audience top 1,000. The Donald, on the other hand, has had 87 rallies where he appeared, and in only 7 of these were his crowds estimated at under 1,000. Listen, 80 of the 87 rallies had crowds above 1,000, and at least 16 of these were with crowds exceeding 10,000 attendees. Now, while that was going on with Obama, they made a lot of noise about it. They're ignoring it with Trump. We might be headed into the surprise upset of the century, if not in the entire history of politics. Now, this could be Dewey Truman all over again, only on steroids. Now, I'm sure that makes Trumpettes happy. And you've heard me say many times in different ways, if God has mercy on us and we dodge the bullet that is Hilarity, may God have mercy and help us heal from the bullet wound that's Trump. You know, so how do we pray about all this? First, you've got to see the gorilla on this stage. Understand that the place to focus your attention is upward on God and what he's doing and what he's going to do. About the fact that this nation under God has forsaken him and his way, and the God of nations will judge. I mean, he is. But you're not seeing it. How do we pray for our nation? Listen, we've got a God-sized problem in front of us. No man can deliver us from this thing. No man can deliver us from the judgment of God. I mean, look, even a Ronald Reagan couldn't turn this thing around at this point. Please understand that. Even he said, if we ever forget we're a nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under. We need to turn to God. Now, I'm going to begin a prayer and fasting vigil on Tuesday. That's November 1st. And I'm going to continue in that fast for, well, 4 or more days at least. And I'll be praying for our country. Now, folks, I'm calling on all God-fearing patriots who listen to the Ray Massage Show or members of Lighthouse or who otherwise keep tabs of our on our ministry here, or influenced by it one way or the other, to join me to pray and fast for God's mercy upon our nation. Amos 7, 1-9 is the passage I mentioned. I did bring it up last week. Let's look at it here again as I conclude the show today in preparation for our prayer vigil beginning Tuesday, should you decide to join me. Now, God pronounced a judgment against Israel because her leaders had led her into sin and led her into forsaking God. Of course, the people bought into this. They wanted it. And the first judgment that God pronounced to Amos against Israel was this: grasshoppers divinely appointed to essentially devour the productivity of the entire land, leaving it in economic ruin or waste. Now, Amos was concerned that the judgment God pronounced would leave Israel unable to recover. So he interceded, he prayed, he said, "O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small." In other words, he was concerned that the judgment that God presented to Amos was too severe and that Israel could not survive that judgment. Now, I liken this to Hillary. Her presidency would continue Obama's program of tax and spend. She will certainly bankrupt us both morally and economically and make us vulnerable to those who seek our destruction with her attitude toward the military. The bear and the dragon and ISIS are all salivating for a chance to devour us in the hands of Hillary. She'd probably feed us to them. Amazingly, God heard the prayer of Amos, and God repented of that judgment plan, and then he presented an alternative plan of judgment to Amos, and this one was a fire. God declared he would contend by fire. Essentially, the idea in the passage is that God would destroy the water source. But I liken this to Trump's tongue of fire, you know, a world of iniquity. And more to the point, the destruction that he represents of the influence of the water of God's word in the lives of so many. What has happened to the conservative movement with the advent of Trump? And I'm not some stupid aristo goper concerned about the power of the aristocrats. Listen to me. We have taken the claw of our hammers and begun to dig out the nails that once held the pro-life plank firmly in the platform of the GOP for some decades now. Trump undermines the very foundation of the pro-life position by either denying humanity to the life of the baby in the womb, which makes the whole abortion question irrelevant, or even worse, he supposes murdering human beings on the ground that they were conceived by an act of rape or incest is acceptable to him. What does that say? And as for the gender issue, that's a huge problem for us right now. We've lost much ground on the right by following Trump. He's a friend of the spirit that distorts what is probably the most basic distinctions, one of the most basic distinctions God has ordained in nature. A violation of natural law and a snub in the face of revealed law. You've got to be kidding me. You support this guy who has compromised the two most critical moral issues facing this nation today and bringing this nation into divine judgment. The murder of the innocent blood and the perversion of God's natural design of the man and for the man and the woman. Add to this his well-known penchant for crudeness and his salacious attitude towards sex and the sexes. Look, these things don't matter to you or to so many of you. I know that. A lot of my listeners aren't Christians. You understand. But they do matter to God. So my point is this. Whether Hillary or Trump take the White House, we're in trouble. We're facing judgment. One worse, one lesser, but we're facing judgment. I beg God to have mercy and deliver us from either the grasshopper or the fire. Well, when Amos heard God present the fire judgment, he prayed. And amazingly, God heard him again. And God said, okay, I won't judge in that way either. Now consider this carefully, because this third judgment is the one that Amos accepted and the one we need to accept and pray for. Rather than total economic ruin, taking the entire nation, everybody in it, down beyond recovery, and rather than a total general forsaking of all divine influence, what's left of it in the land, delivering us over to the destructive forces of our lusts, God showed to Amos a wall made by a plumb line, a straight wall, a wall that was set up straight according to a plumb line. Now we'll see that plumb line is God's word, and this nation is a wall that was built by the plumb line. Well, God showed Amos that he would visit the wall with his plumb line in his hand to check the plumb of the wall. And then he said to Amos this, "I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel." The plumb line would be the standard by which he will judge the land. He will declare his standard of judgment upon the people. First, he'll send out the message, the warning. And then he told Amos what would happen next. He said, "The high places of Isaac will be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be laid waste." Or in other words, it's as Peter said in 1 Peter 4:17, judgment must begin at the house of God. Those churches that fail the test of the plumb line will be judged by God. They will be laid waste. The second thing God said would happen is that the house of Jeroboam would be visited with the sword. Now, the house of Jeroboam was a reference to the ruling house of the land of Israel. And that would be, for us, like the White House and the House of Congress and the House of the Judiciary. And so in this judgment, God targets his judgment on the backslidden within his own house, and then he directs his sword against the people's house, and he does a house cleaning or cleansing. I'm praying false churches will be exposed, the phony world-loving crowd that call themselves Christians who name the name of Christ but do not depart from iniquity will be brought to shame for their hypocrisy, so they will repent. I'm praying the churches that have thrown out the word of God, trimming their ways to seek the love and affection of the world, will be exposed as the shams that they are, that the little preacherettes tickling the ears of the Christianettes will be reproached by the genuine believers, that the sheep of Christ's pasture, the genuine sheep, will hear the chief shepherd's voice and come out of those sham churches, and that Christ's genuine churches will be revived and returned to the old paths, where is the good way. Yeah. And then I'm praying, on the heels of that, God's divine sword will then drive out of the people's house the wicked and corrupt politicians in the White House and the House of Congress and those that sit on the bench of the Supreme Court, that God will cleanse the people's house. And I need to clarify that I leave how that's done to God. This is a divine judgment coming from heaven against the U.S., and we need to pray. Amos did not protest this last judgment. Not only can America survive such a judgment, no matter who's in the White House, you know, or who's in the House, or the Congress, the judiciary, we can survive this judgment. And if in this judgment we will repent, America can thrive once again. Are you with me in this? Will you fast a meal or a day or a few days? And when you fast, can you enter into intercession for America as Amos did for Israel? And can you beg God not to judge us with total ruin and destruction, but that he will measure out the judgment and target it, beginning in his own house and the proceeding to the house of government and power in this land? Call me or write to me or email to me and let me know you'll join me. And the several others who have already told me they're going to join me in prayer and fasting for America. If you will, please call me and leave a message for me. You can call 888-770-8000, leave a message. Or you can text me directly at 805-714-0785. That's 805-714-0785. Or you can email me by going to our website. By the way, don't use brainmassage.net. I found some fatal flaws on that site that need to get corrected. Go back to using thebrainmassageshow.com for a little while, and I'll tell you when we switch back. Thebrainmassageshow.com. Scroll down, you'll see a place to write an email message to me. You can also find me on Twitter, on Facebook, and LinkedIn, and some other places, I think. Call or text me directly at 805-714-0785. That's my personal cell number, by the way. And I might be on the phone with someone else when you call or engage with someone. I'm busy, like you are, and I might not be able to answer right away, but you can leave a message for me when you do, and I'll call you back. Or you can text me and just let me know you're with me. You're going to be praying and fasting sometime beginning Tuesday leading into the election. All right? Or go to thebrainmassageshow.com, write me an email, call 888-770-8000 to leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 to say lights on or lights off. Lights on if you agree, lights off if you don't agree. And if you're heard when you call, just call, say lights on, then hang up. That's all right. Or you can go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com, and write to me an email. And I respond to all my email messages as soon as I can get to them. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Calling all Lights On listeners to The Brain Massage Show. Keep the lights on. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.